The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, December 23rd, which means it's time for a Festivus for the rest of us. That's right. Happy Festivus, everyone out there, and welcome to Normal Show Live. For the next 2 hours, you're going to get the best in news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're so glad to have you here, and also glad to have our technical difficulties taken care of. We can actually speak to our own cannabis Carrie.
Really? Am I really here?
You're really here, Carrie?
That's so exciting. Hey, everybody. Happy Christmas Eve Eve.
Or as we call it here, Festivus. You know, I've got my Festivus pole right behind me. We've got the Festivus pole. And the airing of the grievances, well, that's just something I do every day here on Normal Show Live. So I guess we'll have to wait for the feats of strength at the end, Carrie. You'll have to pin me.
Oh, that'll be tough through Skype, but they have done some recent upgrades, so let's see if we can pull it off.
Hey, just look under the tools menu. I'm sure wrestling is in there somewhere. Oh, we got a great show for today. We've got our Groovin' Thursday in our Daily Toker Tunes. John Doe Radio is going to bring us some music from MC Chris. We always love hearing from MC Chris. And today, we get kind of a double shot. We've got our Law Enforcement Against Prohibition speaker joining us at half past the hour, William John Cox. He wrote the LAPD's Police Procedure Manual, and we're going to be talking about what we would like to see in a post-legalization future. And then at 45 past the hour, Terry Joyce from our SoCal scene joins us with Jeff Clark. He's part of a new group called Cannabis Clemency. They're working to free the pot POWs. But before we get to all of that, we get Cannabis Carrie and our hemp headlines. What's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to go to a Nevada Supreme Court case that came down this week and let you know about that. It's sort of a subject that you like to talk about, drugging and driving. And also we're going to go down to the New Orleans area and talk about a city prosecutor there who has had a recent revelation this week about his past that doesn't look like it's going to cost him his job.
Very interesting. Also, we've got breaking news about the confirmation for Michelle Leonhardt to head the DEA. She has been confirmed by the Senate. We'll give you all the details on that coming up here in our hemp headlines. And in hour two, we go to Toker Talk Radio. We take your calls and your chats, and we just discuss them for the rest of the day. We've also got some Christmas music from my brother Josh Belville to play for you. And Carrie, you were mentioning something also about Tracy Jordan, the TV star, having a kidney transplant.
Yeah, I was really shocked to find that out. But, you know, our engineer, Ganja John, when he comes back, I'm sure he was well aware that Tracy Jordan, one of our favorite actors from Saturday Night Live and now 30 Rock, had diabetes and was in need of a kidney transplant. So he got his kidney transplant at the end of November. He's doing well. He's going to be off the show for, they say, 3 or 4 episodes, and then hopefully back just like our engineer.
All right. Well, Ganja John's in Florida right now. We wish you happy holidays. He's on vacation. We'll be right back with Normal Show Live after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Thank you. In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
A Festivus for the rest of us!
Hi, everybody!
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
Going to light.
Roll a big fatty.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
We begin the news with some news breaking from Normal. This is off of the Hill blog. The DEA head is confirmed after Democratic senator drops his hold. The Senate confirmed Michelle Leonhardt's nomination to lead the Drug Enforcement Administration Wednesday night, giving the agency an official leader for the first time in more than 3 years. Leonhardt's confirmation was in doubt as early as Wednesday morning until Senator Herb Kohl, Democrat of Wisconsin, allowed her nomination to go through. Kohl, who heads the Senate's Aging Committee, released a block on her nomination after receiving assurances from Attorney General Eric Holder that the DEA will work with Congress to ease restrictions on administering painkillers to nursing home patients in emergency situations. The Senate unanimously confirmed Leonhardt before it adjourned for the rest of the year. Leonhardt, who had been serving as the acting administrator, was first nominated to the agency's top spot by President George W. Bush in 2008, but the Senate failed to confirm her before the 110th Congress adjourned. Obama upset marijuana advocates by renominating her in January. They say Leonhardt has taken too tough a stance against states that have legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes. Well, we reported this to you here at Normal Show Live about Senator Kohl's hold, and yes, we do have very many problems with Leonhardt. She has green-lighted at least 30 raids on medical marijuana dispensaries that are contrary to the directive of her boss, Attorney General Holder, who said we shouldn't be using scarce federal law enforcement resources against marijuana operations operating legally. She also has denied the medical use of marijuana. And when asked about this in hearings by Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, and I'm sorry, who's the other? Sessions, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, asked about medical marijuana. Sessions said, quote, "I'm a big fan of the DEA," and then asked her point blank whether or not she would fight medical marijuana legalization. Leonhardt said, quote, "I have seen what marijuana use has done to young people. I have seen the abuse. I have seen what it's done to families. It's bad. As confirmed, if confirmed as administrator, we would continue to enforce the federal drug laws." So again, Leonhardt confirmed by the Senate in a unanimous vote. I also received an email from one of our listeners who had emailed his senator, Al Franken. Senator Al Franken, someone who ought to know a little bit about marijuana use, considering his days at Saturday Night Live, and plus ought to be intelligent enough to understand the medicinal uses of marijuana. This is from Senator Al Franken. Thank you for contacting me about the nomination of Michelle Leonhardt for administrator of the DEA. I appreciate hearing you on this important nomination. The Senate is tasked with reviewing the president's nominees for various federal offices, including the DEA. The DEA is responsible for enforcing controlled substances laws. Michelle Leonhardt, blah, 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 has served since 2007. She was born and raised in Minnesota, so that might be where Senator Franken has some interest in this as the senator from Minnesota. And Franken continues, "As a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which oversees the DEA, I was able to meet Ms. Leonhardt and become familiar with her policies. I also had the opportunity to question Ms. Leonhardt during her recent confirmation hearing. I believe she has proven her ability to head the DEA, and I plan to support her confirmation. This is Senator Al Franken supporting a woman who said of the Mexican drug war that, quote, our view is that the violence we have been seeing is a signpost of the success our very courageous Mexican counterparts are having. The cartels are acting out like caged animals because they are caged animals, end quote. That's Michelle Leonhardt when questioned about 30,000 dead Mexicans south of our border that have been slaughtered in this drug war. She says it's a signpost of success, and Senator Franken, along with Senator Whitehouse and all the senators, have confirmed her to head the DEA. This is after we get the WikiLeaks dump that tells us from the foreign diplomatic cables that many leaders in many countries reveal that the Mexican drug war plan lacks, quote, a clear strategy and, quote, suffers from infighting among security agencies, according to the Washington Post. Yes, this is who Obama has nominated. This is who our Senate has confirmed to be the head of the DEA, Michelle Leonhardt. That is my airing of grievances here for this Festivus Day.
The Nevada Supreme Court has rejected an appeal by a Californian woman who claims the state's marijuana law is unconstitutional because it interferes with her right to travel. According to the Las Vegas Sun, the Supreme Court ruled against Shara Garfinkel on Tuesday. She was contesting her conviction for driving in northern Nevada with marijuana in her blood. In their ruling, the court stated that driving isn't a constitutional right and that Garfinkel cannot operate her vehicle with marijuana in her blood or urine. Garfinkel argued that she is a legal user of marijuana under California law and should be allowed to travel in Nevada with or without metabolites in her system. Garfinkel had argued that there was no basis for a law that doesn't show a person with marijuana in her blood is impaired to drive. The day she was pulled over, she said she was in the Lake Tahoe area within 2 miles of the California border. She said she failed a field sobriety test because she couldn't maintain a standing on one leg long enough. She said she had an injury that prevented her from doing so. Garfinkel, a California medical marijuana cardholder, maintains that, quote, I wasn't high, I hadn't even smoked all day. Nevada's law does not allow metabolite content greater than 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood, which, according to Garfinkel, violates her right to travel across the state line. The court just did not agree, saying Nevada's law provides adequate notice that it is unlawful to drive with clearly defined levels of marijuana or marijuana metabolite in the bloodstream. The court also ruled that the law, quote, does not prevent Garfinkel's transit through the state. It criminalizes her driving a motor vehicle through the state with prohibited substances in her blood or urine.
Yeah, this is something that we're going to have to start learning more about, people, and that is the per se DUID laws in America. This is something that Paul Armentano has covered in depth in his Cannabis and Driving, A Rational Review. You can find that at normal.org. I've also placed maps up on normal.org that show you the different states that have these per se limits. Now, it's important to distinguish between the per se limits of THC in the blood versus the per se limits of metabolites in the urine. When we're talking about 5 nanograms per milliliter in the blood, what they're looking at is the active THC in the blood. And the science shows that 5 nanograms per milliliter is indicative of fairly recent marijuana use, within anywhere from, you know, you just smoked a joint to could be 2, 3, 4 hours since you smoked a joint. Now, that does not at all tell us whether or not someone's too impaired to drive. But then again, neither does a breathalyzer with alcohol does it tell us whether someone's too impaired to drive. It just tells us whether or not someone has consumed more than the state allows before someone is allowed to drive. As far as the constitutional aspect, of course, we would want medical marijuana patients to be able to travel from state to state, but that does not give anyone the right to be behind the wheel and driving in an impaired status. That's what the Nevada Supreme Court is finding. Now, you and I know the science of this. We know that people that use marijuana can develop tolerances, especially patients, and they can be able to drive at levels where regular people might not be able to drive. We know this, but the general public does not know this, and in the frame of treating it like alcohol, they want to have some sort of magical machine, some sort of bright line number that determines that someone has had too much marijuana before getting behind the wheel of the car. This is the kind of compromise that we're going to have to work through with the rest of America before we can start talking about making marijuana legal for all people.
Slidell, Louisiana is a city considered part of the Greater New Orleans metro area. On December 14th, city council members there voted to confirm Reggie J. Laurent as the city prosecutor, despite knowing that he had a pair of DUIs in his past. This week, it was revealed that the new city prosecutor also had a marijuana bust from 2002. He had been stopped for an expired inspection sticker on his pickup truck, and they found an unspecified amount of marijuana. He was charged in that incident with having an expired brake tag, having an open container of alcohol, there was an open can of Bud Light, and misdemeanor possession of marijuana. He was booked, taken to jail, and later entered a diversion program that was completed in April of 2003. When he was asked about the newly surfaced allegations, he responded to local media saying, quote, "I entered a program, I tested negative, there was no evidence, it was dismissed. You got your information from someone who wants to crucify me, that's all I will say," unquote. Now, the town's mayor, Freddie Denon, who nominated Laurent for the position, was the police chief at the time, back in 2002, and he says that Reggie never mentioned the incident during the vetting process. He says he thinks that there are some that were unhappy with the nomination and are working hard to discredit the new city prosecutor. Many that were in favor of Laurent's appointment were surprised that he once faced accusations of drug possession. District C Councilman Buddy Lloyd said that, quote, "having this information before the vote would have been nice," unquote. Outgoing council president Lionel Hicks said he wanted to learn more about the case before second-guessing his vote. The marijuana incident came between the two DUIs, one in 96 and one in 2003. Both were disposed of as first offenses. Laurent, who is 57 years old, says he hasn't had a drink since 2004. He had campaigned once before for a district court judgeship but lost. This morning, a full 24 hours after the marijuana arrest revelation, Mayor Drennan has said that Reggie Laurent's job is safe. He said he met with Laurent and said that he was very satisfied with all of the answers he received from the new city prosecutor. Laurent represented the New Orleans Police Department for 7 years, beginning in 1987, first as a police attorney and then as the force's legal counsel. The DUIs resulted in state officials placing his law license on probation for 2 years and were highly publicized when he ran unsuccessfully for public office in the past.
Well, it's, you know, odd that they would find out that the guy has alcohol DUIs and that's not an issue, but then they find out that he's involved with marijuana and that's the issue. Very odd story there, Carrie. Let's move on.
All right. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police may not be feeling the spirit of the season when they turned the power off from David Hodkinson last Friday. Hodkinson and a friend had been growing medical marijuana in his house for about a year with a license to do so from Health Canada. He and his friend both had a license to grow up to 49 plants each, but both of those licenses expired in August, even though they had applied for a renewal a full 8 weeks before the expiration date, as recommended by Health Canada. Working through the bureaucratic hurdles to get his license renewed, he continued to grow medical marijuana. Hodkinson said that the police had been to his home a couple of times to see his operation after it had his license had expired, and they knew the circumstances of his case and didn't even tell him to take it down. But not last Friday when they came knocking. When the police showed up, they dismantled the operation for him, charged both men with illegal cultivation. They didn't even bother to unplug any of his equipment. They used wire cutters and cut through all the wires and hoses and then had his power to his home shut off. Hodkinson says he is grateful to a friend who loaned him a small generator so that he can have some power. Cedar's weather this weekend is a high of 40 degrees and pouring rain. A spokesperson for Health Canada says that a rise in applications over the past year for growers has slowed the process down quite a bit, and there is a notice posted on their website that explains there is a backlog of applications causing delays in their work. Working hard to catch up. Unfortunately, the expiration date still applies, rise despite the backlog, so many Canadian growers are technically growing illegally as they wait for paperwork. Richard Payne, an activist with the BC Marijuana Party, told the Daily News that it seems the authorities would prefer patients purchase their cannabis from organized criminals rather than people like David Hodkinson, who are trying to fill a health need legally. Others say it's a shame that law-abiding citizens who are playing by all the rules are being punished for their efforts. Hodkinson's contacted Health Canada to ask them for advice, telling them that they have put him in a very bad situation, but they are not allowed to give out any legal advice. BC Hydro, the utility company that controls the electricity in his area, says that when power is shut off by the police, they require a substantial security deposit to get it turned back on. Hodkinson says that Christmas is beginning to look pretty bleak.
That's a shame. Oh, boy, you know, Health Canada breaking in this guy's home, tearing down his stuff. I hate it when the cops cut the stuff up, too, rather than tearing it down nice. This is another one of our Festivus grievances. Darn it! Let's take a break.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and JohnDoeRadio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio. Bud, 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 bud
soon on Normal Show Live. Happy holidays to you and your family in the Normal Nation. That is holidays with a Z, because, you know, that's how we roll. Coming up for you is MC Chris. Song is called Evergreen. Many of you know MC Chris's tune Weed. Play that on the John Doe Radio Show quite a lot on the live John Doe Radio Show feed. And we've played it before on Normal Show Live. I know you know it. Anyway, MC Chris, a big character on Adult Swim, does a lot of crazy cartoon character voices. He's also pretty cool to check out live. So if you ever get a chance to check him out live, do so. It's a fun event, although very little toking going on. And in fact, he gives a speech kind of against toking around all the kids that end up around these events. But either way, we get to it. MC Chris, song is called Evergreen with that Christmassy feel to it. This Friday on the John Doe Radio Show at stickcam.com/John Doe Radio, 11 mile high time. That's 11 in the morning, mile high time. We're doing a call-in special. Hopefully Skype works. If you can give us a call, 303-800-1965 with your Christmas wish, we can talk to you. Again, please have a very Merry Christmas, you and your family. I hope have a happy holidays, and that big, fat sack of green is with you. Until we meet again, I'm John Doe. See ya.
Well, on the first day of Christmas, my dealer gave to me a bag of shrooms at the Mellon Sea. We stuck in his apartment to some Christmas trees, but the cops pulled up, and that's nicer than lit. We're all fucked up with Smirnoff eggnog. We crunch a candy cane to rev up all the chainsaws. You give us 30 and we'll tie it up and know what you cost. We'll take it 30 and spend it on pot. We're not too bad, we flunk all of our classes. I'm getting fights, getting drunker, we're bad kids. The dad calls fast, the mom's always plastered. We're the closest thing to suburban gangsters. A cold air's what we read, our vests have our sleeves. It's hard to haul trees, it's of 0 degrees. We smell like evergreen. All I want for breakfast is my two front teeth. And some Mexico all up in this piece, maybe a girl. With my piss, I write my name because I think it's funny. I'm so into this deciduous lifestyle. You see a dead tree and I see a cash cow. I never bargain and I never back down. Put the backseat down and I'll take you out to street town. Your daughter's giving me the eye, so I am giving her a ride. I'll put up with myself and put up all the lights. As long as I get all up in her inside. All I want for breakfast is my two front teeth. And some Mr. Cowell up in his piece, baby, a girl.
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been a utter failure. Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it has made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour, we're joined by William John Cox, a former Los Angeles police sergeant and former prosecutor for the State Bar of California from Long Beach, California. Mr. Cox, welcome to the show.
Well, hi. Thanks, Russ, for having me.
Hi there. And, Carrie, we've got your mic. Need to get that muted. We're getting your typing through here. Sorry about that, Mr. Cox. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here. And as I was reading through your bio, you're a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and you authored the LAPD's Police Manual. What was it in your police work that brought you around to the position of LEAP and calling for the legalization of drugs?
Well, I think that it was a matter of police policy analysis, which is my specialty, as it were, in law enforcement. And that is that, you know, if we really look at what the core mission of law enforcement is all about, it clearly does not include the war on drugs. That was something that was superimposed upon law enforcement by the Nixon administration. It has somehow become a large part of law enforcement, mainly because of the criminal element that has taken over the supply of drugs. And so from my background, it was that as a matter of policy, we should decide as police officers, as professional police officers, that that's not a proper role for us.
Mm. You know, LEAP speakers were instrumental in the campaign recently for Proposition 19, which was an initiative there in the state of California to legalize the sale and the use and the cultivation of marijuana for personal purposes. Of course, it didn't quite pass, got 46% of the vote. But one of the things we heard in the after analysis of this was that it wasn't a matter of if marijuana was going to be legalized, but when and how marijuana was going to be legalized. And this is a subject I wanted to broach with you as someone who has worked in law enforcement, worked in the LAPD. If marijuana legalization is inevitable, what sort of things would you like to see in a post-legalization regulatory framework?
Well, I think that the primary concern that I have, you know, I'm actually a great-grandfather at this time. Hmm. I've been involved in the justice system one way or another for more than 50 years. And I look back at this and I see the problems we've had in the past. But then I look and I look into the future and I say, okay, if we're going to decriminalize the personal possession and use of drugs generally, and specifically to talk about the legalization of marijuana, what do we want to do? What kind of a regulatory framework do we want to establish? Well, I think the first thing we want to recognize is that, you know, while, you know, I'm sure that your listening audience is pretty much, we're preaching to the choir, as it were, probably. However, what we have to recognize is that, you know, I really don't want my grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be using marijuana particularly. You know, they come to me and they say, Grandpa, you know, what do you think of this? I'm going to say, well, look, you know, this isn't a really good thing for you. Just like if they came to me and they asked me about tobacco, or they came to me and asked me about alcohol. you know, I'd say, well, you know, maybe there's a time and a place for everything. But by and large, you don't need this stuff. You know, this is not something that I'm going to recommend that you use. So my position on this, and again, I'm not speaking for LEAP particularly. You know, I'm here because I have agreed to be on the LEAP's speaker panel. However, my position is that as we legalize the personal possession and use of drugs generally, the one thing that we should initially impose on this process is a prohibition against advertising. You know, do we really want to see billboards as we go down the road and, you know, this thing, you know, we've got the best Maui Wowie in town or, you know, we don't need advertising to promote the use of drugs. Or, and to be honest with you, alcohol. I agree with you, same thing with alcohol, same thing with tobacco, and same thing with gambling. These are things that are inherently harmful to our society, and we should not be allowing advertising of these, advertising and promotion.
How do we go forward with that, Mr. Cox, in a country where we have First Amendment protections I know that these business owners, we already have them in California. These dispensaries are already advertising for medical marijuana. How would you write regulations to address this? Is this something they do with tobacco and alcohol?
Not with tobacco and alcohol because they have already become established. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is from, you know, as we use the term in the law ad initio from the very beginning, one of the things that some of us did here in California during the Prop 19 campaign is that there was a model ordinance that was promoted for the adoption by local communities, local cities and counties, to regulate the sale of marijuana if Prop 19 passed, and what a good portion of us that were speaking that we were out there speaking on behalf of Prop 19. I'm talking about a former Judge Gray,
right.
Former deputy chief of LAPD, Steve Downing, and I, the three of us primarily, said, if we're going, you know, if you want us to get out there and promote this ordinance as being a model ordinance, then this is what you need to do, is you need to add this to the ordinance right now at the very beginning that if you want a permit to sell marijuana, if you want a permit, you know, any of these permitted things that this ordinance will allow and the Prop 19 will allow, you have to agree not to advertise. Hmm. You agree not to advertise in order to get the permit. And I think that that would deal with the First Amendment issues.
Hmm. Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, one of the strong things that we need to go forward with here in any legalization campaign is to emphasize that kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You compared it to telling them about, you know, using alcohol or tobacco. I would probably compare it to sexual activity. It's something that adults can do responsibly, but kids probably can't. Regardless, though, if we're going to talk about kids not using pot, we've got to define what is a kid. At what age would you like to see the use of marijuana and other drugs be legal?
Well, I think that, you know, at age 18, you can vote. At age 18, you can voluntarily join the military and go get killed in Afghanistan or Iraq. I think that any time that we expect someone to stand up and fight for this country, we ought to give them the full rights. And I think that age 18 is essentially the age of consent in this country. There are those who think that it should be 21, but I think that's just absolutely arbitrary myself. Mm.
That's fantastic to hear because, you know, when we were going forward with the Prop 19 campaign, it was a 21 age, but a lot of my listeners complained about that, especially considering that the largest cohort of people that use cannabis are between the ages of 18 and 25. So splitting it at 21 seemed, like you said, kind of arbitrary. How do you feel that would fly, though, in a country that has so readily accepted a 21 drinking age? And do you agree with that 21 drinking age?
Not really. I again, I feel that if we were to say that you can't join the military and until you're 21 years old, if somehow the magic age became 21, that you were expected to lay down your life for this country and fight for the freedoms, then that should be the age. If we reduce that to 18, then I think that should be the age of consent.
Oh, fantastic. We're speaking again with William John Coxey, former Los Angeles police sergeant and former prosecutor for the State Bar of California. He also authored the LAPD's policy manual, and we're looking forward at a post-legalization future. Are there other regulations aside from the no advertising that you would like to see instituted for legal drug use in America?
Well, if you're actually, one of the other elements that we spoke about when we were promoting this ordinance or the amendments to the ordinance that we believe should be a part of the ordinance was also the promotion. You know, if you're going in to buy marijuana, it should almost be in a plain, unadorned container. Essentially, there shouldn't. It's just like, if you walk into a bar and there's bar lights all over the place and there's all sorts of free stuff being given out, mm-hmm. and it's all for the promotion of the consumption of alcohol. To a certain extent, you can see that with gambling. Even though the lottery is promoted by the state, you still see an awful lot of promotion for lotteries. We really felt that there shouldn't be promotion of any sort of the use of drugs. Now, if you're asking me personally what it should be, my personal view, and I've held this view now for, oh gosh, almost 30 years probably, is that all drugs should be legal, as they've done in Portugal, I believe, one country that totally decriminalized the possession and use of drugs altogether, is that you should buy them at your local drugstore. Mm-hmm. I think that everybody should be able to grow marijuana. I mean, for Christ's sakes, they're talking about a 5x5 foot plot here in California. Well, that'll give you a pretty good, some pretty good plants probably if you mm-hmm. tend them correctly. But by and large, I think that that drugs should be available by prescription at a drugstore.
Excellent. Yeah, that's so good
to
hear.
And that includes marijuana.
And yes, marijuana should be, grown by the people and the other drugs. I've always said that, jail makes a lousy rehab, and that, if people really have problems with drugs, well, at least we've got them seeing a doctor to obtain, whatever drug it is they may be addicted to, and they're getting some counseling and they're getting some help. The situation we have now where drugs are prohibited, people are afraid when they have a problem because they don't want to be busted. They don't want to be thrown into a prison cell for trying to get some health care. So I do really appreciate that point of view of yours, Mr. Cox. Thank you.
You bet.
We have to go, but I do want to thank you for joining us. And again, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition joins us on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. William John Cox is one of their excellent speakers. If you'd like to get more information, you can check out copssaylegalizeddrugs.com or leap.cc. William John Cox, thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Sure, and if you want more information about other things I think about, go to williamjohncox.com.
Oh, excellent. williamjohncox.com. We'll put that up in our chat room as well and in our blog and get you some traffic over there to the blog. Thanks so much, sir.
Okay, take care, partner. Okay, bye.
According to Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Space. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
in terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war
Normal
on
Show
drugs.
Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
For a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Oh, welcome back to Terry Joyce. Are you there on the line, dear?
I am on the line, and it is so good to be back. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. We've got your new Mike Tucker-inspired caricature up on the webcam as well. Tell us about it.
I'm going to do a new radio show called Hollywood Hempress Hour on the New Dissident Radio Network. And I'll be launching it starting in July, and that is the logo for the show, and also a pinup, a rendition of myself, actually. But it seems strange. I think of it as a different character. But it's done by Mike Tucker, who has done a lot of marijuana art, and I'm very excited. I'm excited to start doing a show and having guests and getting the word out there, and hopefully making a change happen or being with those like you who are doing it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, welcome to the marijuana media. And folks in the chat room are saying, yay, it's another show for the network. You know, we're going to put a marijuana network together. We'll have 24/7 programming, and we can all be a part of it. You can be the media. This is so cool. I'm glad to hear about that, Terry.
This is great. I think that this is the perfect opportunity to start to do things like that because the internet is wide open. At least we hope it's still open because, you know, we're having our FCC fights going on. But I just think that we should just forge forward. We don't have to wait for somebody else to tell us to do it. We can just do it on our own.
That's absolutely right.
Which is, yeah. Yeah. You know, we had something happen here in our L.A. courts. You know, there's been a battle of keeping our dispensaries or opening our dispensaries back open in Los Angeles County. Do you know about that? It's Americans for Safe Access.
Yeah, there was a story about that, how the court struck down some of the restrictions on the dispensaries. Is that the right story?
Yeah, they're saying, you know, they say that if the state of California authorized certain people to operate collectives, then Los Angeles needs to honor that.
Yeah,
which is good news. But what I thought was really interesting is that Bernard Parker and Jan Perry are still, you know, city council members still are fighting against it. Which I was thinking, like, Parker and Perry, like, doesn't that just sound like a comedy duo?
Yeah, the stylings of Parker and Perry. Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I wanted to mention, Terry, is what a small world it is, because you sent in those drawings from Mike Tucker, and I'm like, God, those look so familiar. Mike Tucker actually does a cartoon called What Now Tunes that he supplied to my old XM satellite radio show back when I was doing political talk radio, and there was all left-wing type of political cartoons. Same guy. So what a small world. We'd both run into him, you know, professionally in this manner.
It's really interesting. You know, it makes me think that maybe there's something in the cosmos that creates synchronicity, because I just joined Skype, you know, when I did, and I kept accidentally calling him. He was in I had imported my Facebook friends, mm-hmm. and I kept calling him, and finally I said, well, who, you know, what do you do? I mean, where do you live? And found out that he was an artist, and he had done Henry Hemp art.
Right.
And the comic book, and so, you know, then I wanted to have him on the guest on
on our show, and I ended up like actually asking him to do something for me too. So it's definitely interesting how we all kind of intersect together in a strange way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's magical. Now, for our show here, Southern California Scene, we always like to talk to people that are making strides in advocacy down there in Southern California, the hotbed of medical marijuana activism right now. And you've got a guest today who's doing a project that I'm really excited to hear about. So let me give you a chance to introduce him.
Yes, I met him at the, by the way, if you ever see a movie called Hempsters, you can check it out on hempsters.com. We were at the Artifice Festival down here in Los Angeles at the Egyptian Theater, and one of the films there was Hempsters as well as How the West Was Won. And we met there and started to talk, and he was telling me about a program that he's launching called California Clemency. And so I'd like to welcome to the show Jeff Clark.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to Normal Show Live.
Oh, great. I'm glad to be here. I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine, and I'm excited to hear about California Clemency. Tell our listeners what this is all about.
Well, basically, the California Clemency Project is to get the marijuana prisoners and jailees out of jail and basically earn our state money. Not save them, earn them money. The main goal is to get people out of jail that are just had a little bit too much medical marijuana in their gardens, or they had a simple possession charge, or in their house per se when they had children, you know, even though the children didn't have access to it. There's people in jail, multiple. I talked to Ellen at Normal, estimated about 6,000, 7,000 in California. I don't know the exact numbers. But that $51,000 a year average cost to keep a prisoner in jail, we can earn our government that much money. And something that Kerry failed to bring up that I really wanted to bring up was, you know, the screening on How Weed Won the West is a great screening, and the Hempsters with Woody Harrelson was a great screening, and we've got to get the industrial hemp movement going. And the whole thing is not only just the cannabis, but it is the hemp. Mm-hmm. And if we can free free that whole sisterhood family, then we can help save our planet. And that's what the Artifest was all about, is, you know, ecologically saving our planet.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be one of my New Year's resolutions here for 2011 for Normal Show Live, is for us to at least once a week, you know, in our show, one day out of the week, you know, take more of an emphasis on hemp and taking a look at hemp. One of my listeners wrote a really interesting comment that said, marijuana is the smokescreen that hides the hemp field. So I think you're right on with that.
That's
Jeff.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I was a good friend with Jack Hare, who recently went in. He got to go home. Mm-hmm. I was at his funeral, spoke to a bunch of people that were the original writers of Prop 215, including Chris Conrad and a bunch of other friends, Bruce Margolin, L.A. Normal.
Yeah.
I'm Upper Kern County Normal, but Dale just told me that we aren't recognized because we're really not good at filling out papers up here in the mountains.
Well, I'll help you out with that. I'll help you out with that.
Well, Bakersfield Normal and Upper Kern County Chapter of Normal, Dale just told me yesterday we weren't being recognized because we haven't filed the right paperwork. So I don't know, maybe a little too much medical marijuana or something's going on there.
I'm sure we can work it out.
But the whole thing is I really, really want to get the California Clemency Project going. I need as much help as I can possibly get, and I want, even if possible, for you guys to broadcast my phone number.
Oh, please do. Go ahead.
I'll take people's numbers. My phone number is directly 310-600-5360-5360. And anybody that's interested in helping, or anybody that's got a family member that's in jail for cannabis, I want them to call me. We've got to get this organized. Mm-hmm. The only way I can do it right now, I've got a guy setting up a website. And I know a lot of people in different organizations, the MPP people and the Drug Alliance people, and basically the cannabis movement in Northern and Southern California, although we've had our own little struggle going on here in Central California in Kern County. It was Ed Sola and I, they wouldn't allow any cooperatives, and I opened the first one in Kern County in Redcrest, and they robbed me and closed me down. Oh, but no. We got them to open up six in Kern County, and then they closed them down, and then one reopened, and he got closed down again. And right now, Dave's still facing 25 years to life.
Oh.
The other partner just went to jail for 37 months, and all they were doing was supplying medical cannabis to legitimate patients.
That's a travesty. That's just insane. Brown. We can't allow that to continue happening. And I just wanted to get a chance in here. Terry, if you had some questions for Jeff that you wanted to bring up.
Well, one thing that Jeff is doing to get this started, and also to raise money for the fight, and put, perhaps donate to Normal and other organizations that are behind the legalization of hemp and medical marijuana, is that he has a new song coming out. We had a few technical difficulties. Now, what is it called again, Jeff? The song?
It's called It's Time for a Change. It was actually titled before our president used the slogan. I hope you got it downloaded on the MP3 now. It was resent on an MP3 file at 1:30. Now, I was hoping you might get a chance to play it, but next week or sometime soon. It's a song for legalization, and it's basically, I would love to see about 75% of any proceeds of this song go back divided equally amongst our organizations that are pro legalization and pro choice. It all boils down to it's our choice. If we want to heal ourselves holistically, fine. And if people say they're using it recreationally, I'm sorry, they aren't. They're self-medicating. And 89% of the population in California qualify for medical marijuana. So we had this little issue with Prop 19, which would have ruined a lot of youngsters' lives in the long run. And I'm kind of iffy on what happened with the Prop 19. I know we had a lot of people voting for it, but right now, but what's really happening in March in L.A. County is if the city council has it on the ballot to tax medical marijuana. And I don't believe that any other medications, like your Vicodins, your OxyContins, your Percocets, Valiums, whatever other toxic drugs are out there that Pfizer and the other big pharmies make, are taxed. And if the government thinks they're going to bail themselves out of their hole by taxing our medical marijuana, I think they have it all backwards. I think they need to learn how to grow some good bud if they want to make money from us.
Well, that's why I always say, we need to legalize marijuana for everyone's use. And if you want to tax that, that's great. But when it's medicine, when it's being used as a medical purpose, there's no need to be taxing people who are already facing sickness and disability and pain.
Well, it's on the ballot for March, and we need, since it's a midterm election, we all know that a lot of conservatives show up at the midterm elections. And if they vote this in L.A. County, taxing medical marijuana, then it's going to end up a big mess, because we're going to have to sue them.
Yeah.
And if the medical marijuana community starts doing L.A. County, then it's just going to get all tied up, and that isn't what we want. What it's all about is just our choice of how we want to use what's available to us on this planet.
Yeah.
And we should all be able to grow a plant and use it how we want to, whether it be a tomato or a cannabis plant or an hemp plant, if we want to make clothing out of it.
Absolutely. That's why we're here every day. Sorry to interrupt you, Jeff, but we do have to get going here for our first hour. I want to remind folks, it's the California Clemency Project. You can get a hold of Jeff Clark at 310-600-5360. Terry Joyce joins us here as well for our Southern California scene on the first and third and fifth Fridays. Hey, you guys, if you want to stay around for the live hour, we've got another hour going. We can continue the conversation. I just had to wrap ourselves up here for the end of the podcast. Are you cool with that? You want to stay on the line?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll stay on the line.
All right. We'll be back with you in just a second here. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. For Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seat. you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you